Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today's a special day because you'll be hearing a different voice. Anthony Blake, one of the members of our church, will be giving the sermon, and that'll be on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider his word, read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with a children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. Then it'll be over to Anthony for the sermon. Let's pray. God of truth, we come to you asking that you give us understanding, but more than that, a love for your word. May we remember that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Speak through Anthony into our hearts, and give us a will which obeys, and a heart that loves your word. May your Spirit take his sword, and do his work in us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And now it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello everybody, it's Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I'm here with two of my kids, Kai and Ellie. Say hi guys!
Hi!
All right, now I have something here. What's this?
An egg.
An egg, that's right. And the inside of this egg, it probably looks like this, doesn't it?
Yeah, the yolk.
Yeah, it looks soft and squishy and slimy and runny. Not very nice, huh? Now, if I wanted my egg to change and to become hard, so that we could eat it and it would be delicious, what would help my egg to change? Ellie?
Just peel all of the hard bits off. Peel it all off.
You think peeling the egg would change it from this soft, goopy mess
but
into
after,
this lovely
but after
hard
maybe
one?
Maybe put it in the pan.
Ah, putting it in a pan. You're onto something here. Kai, do you know what I would need to do to get the inside of my egg to look like this?
You've got to hard boil it.
Hard boil it. How do I do that?
Hot water.
Hot water. Ellie, very good. So we would put the egg in a pan of water, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd heat it up on the stove.
And then we'd peel everything off.
That's right. Now, the hot water and the stove and the saucepan, they are things that would help the egg to change. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, those things would help the egg to change. Now, imagine that I was a really bad drawer. I know that's going to be a really hard thing for you to imagine. Imagine that I'm no good at art, but that I wanted to get good Imagine that I wanted to change from being a really bad drawer to a really good drawer. What things would help me to change?
Maybe do your art for Kids Hub, because that helps you to learn how to draw.
That's right. I could watch some YouTube tutorials to show me how to draw. That would be a really good thing to do, wouldn't it? That would help me to change. What else would help me to change?
God.
God? Yep. I can tell that you're a Christian kid. Just talking about drawing, okay? I suppose I could pray and ask God to help me.
Practice a lot.
Practice a lot. That's a really good thing. Practice will help me to change. You're right.
Practice over and over again.
Yeah, excellent.
Keep rubbing out bits that aren't right.
That's right. Now, guys, what about if I was a sinner? A really rotten sinner who rejected God and who did things her own way all the time. But imagine that I wanted to change and start living God's way. What things would help me to change?
Maybe probably pray to God and obey him.
That's right. I could pray. I could obey him. But it's hard work, isn't it?
You could ask God to help you.
I could ask God to help me. That's right.
You could ask friends to help you.
Yeah, absolutely. They're all really good answers, guys. I've got another answer here. And Kai, I would like you to read it out for me if you can.
All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that men of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17.
That's right. Now, this verse tells us something that helps us to change, to be more like the way God wants us to live. What's the answer? What's going to help us to change?
God.
God? Yes, specifically.
All scripture.
All scripture.
What does scripture mean?
That's a good question, Ellie. All scripture is the Bible. Everything in the Bible, all the parts of the Bible, the parts at the beginning, the parts at the end, the parts in the middle, the parts that we don't understand very well, all scripture, all of the Bible is breathed out by God, and it is helpful, it is profitable, it is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. They are all things that help us to change to be more godly. And it's an amazing gift that God has given to us. So we need to be reading the Word of God, don't we? We need to be reading the Bible, all the bits of the Bible, so that we can change to be more like the way God wants us to be. Let's pray that God would help us to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it is your word and that all of it is useful and helpful for changing us. Please help us to live your way. Please help us to read your word and to understand it. Please help us to put it into action when we do read it. Please help us to change to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I used to work with a guy who loved power. He was the national sales manager for a company that sold cranes, but cared more about growing his power than sharing his knowledge. He expected all quotes and orders to go through him, and he had whole product lines that only he knew how to quote. literally making himself irreplaceable. You can only imagine what happened when he decided to retire. He even told me he had no plans of leaving instructions, directions, or any notes. He said he had to work it out, so whoever followed him has to work it out. No succession plan, no instructions left, and no hope for those that followed him. How different is that to what Paul is doing? See, Paul has left Timothy in Ephesus and given him the job of building up the church. He wrote him a letter previously, conveniently named 1 Timothy, but he's seen the need to send another one. See, Paul is in jail, no surprises, but this is different. Now he feels like he's nearing the end. His words are a bit more poetic, and in chapter 4, verse 6, he said he is being poured out like a drink offering. So his focus has shifted from giving Timothy a job to passing the baton to his little Padawan, or protege. But poor timid Timothy. This whole letter is about building up Timothy to be a strong, confident leader, like Paul was. It is literally Paul's succession plan for Ephesus. It's about passing the baton to Timothy, and then Timothy being able to pass that baton on to the next generation. But poor timid Timothy. See, poor timid Timothy is trying to lead a church and build up new leaders, but he is struggling with some serious opposition. False teachers are springing up everywhere, and he's being weighed down with all this pressure. And poor timid Timothy feels like he isn't good enough or strong enough. He's tempted to give it all up. But this is why Paul sent him letter number 2. Paul shows Timothy that he has everything he needs to carry on. And in our first point, found in verses 10 to 13, Paul says, carry on. So that will be our first point for today. To start with, he says, carry on following me and my example. The idea of following someone looks very different to this current Facebook generation. Now it's as easy as clicking a button. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You click the button and you get to follow whoever you like. The best photos of their holiday, the best photos of their kids, comments about what they're doing or what their dog is doing. And who knows, you might even get an insight into who they really are as a person. All this from the comfort of your couch or your bed, and all without any real effort. So Timothy was a follower of Paul, but not like a Facebook follower. No, he was more like a dedicated disciple. He genuinely followed Paul. Genuinely and literally. He shared his entire life with Paul. Living, eating, sleeping, and travelling. They did it all together. And so Paul is using this letter to remind Timothy that he doesn't just know his doctrine, and he hasn't just seen his manner of life, but he's been living it. Here in verses 10 and 11, Paul makes 9 points which are personal to both of them. This is to show the stark contrast between where Timothy is at and the false teachers from earlier in the chapter. Paul is pushing the fact that this is not just head knowledge. He and Timothy have been there, experienced it, and lived it. Have a look. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, my afflictions. And then to drive the point home that this is personal, he reminds Timothy of 3 individual moments of persecution. Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, which Timothy would be very familiar with as they link back to his childhood. See, Timothy was from Galatia, in fact from Lystra. He probably witnessed the hostile crowd stoning Paul, dragging him outside the city and leaving him to die. Timothy's decision to follow Paul clearly held strong regardless of this persecution. Oh, and by the way, you and I are going to face these things too. Paul makes it extremely clear that he is not unique, and that Timothy and all of us are not only going to face persecution, but while we face it, evildoers will continue to prosper. Take a look at verse 12 and 13. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. John Stott said it best, the godly arouse the antagonism of the world. So we will suffer. We will be persecuted. But Paul is not saying that we are all going to face the same persecutions he faced. It is unlikely we will go through what Paul did. But we will face persecution in our own way. I know in my short time as a Christian, I've been left out, ignored, made fun of, laughed at, ridiculed. Not long after I became a Christian, I had a mate who was getting married. We'd known each other for years, and when I found out that I'd missed his bucks night, I was devastated. I'd assumed I'd lost the invite or forgotten to write it down, but it turns out he didn't invite me. He'd had a bunch of guys around to his house, they played poker and had a few drinks and watched action movies, all of which I'd done with that group of people many times before. But this time, I was a Christian. This might not sound like much, especially compared to what Paul went through in his life, but that doesn't mean it was easy to accept. Persecution doesn't have to be physical abuse, although you may face that too. We've got plenty of brothers and sisters around the world being stoned or beaten or tortured because of their faith. But we shouldn't play down the persecutions we do face. It hurts, and it's not always easy to combat. But now I want to circle back to verse 11 for a minute. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now I know exactly what you are thinking. And yes, this is a direct callback to Psalm 34, verse 17. Well spotted. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them all from their troubles. This is Paul spelling it out. This is Paul making it as clear as possible. You will be persecuted in one way or another, but you can get through it with the Lord. Paul is making it clear this is not about him showing off. This is not about his ego. It's about trusting in the Lord. For only the Lord can deliver us through it all. So Paul says, follow me and carry on. Our first point, and Paul's as well, carry on living a godly life. Carry on wanting to live a godly life. For if we do, we will suffer. But we can make it through because the Lord will deliver us. This is the prime example Paul wants us to see, and we should be gripping his example and being confident to follow and live a godly life by trusting in Jesus. Trust in the Lord and continue to want to live a godly life. Carry on because you know. Here's our next point, because you know. Obtaining knowledge is a funny thing. We all do it, from the youngest child to those that are at the opposite end of that scale. We obtain knowledge about a million different things, and we do it in a million different ways. We never stop learning. I had a teacher in high school who said we should try and learn everything about everything. He spoke 7 languages, and it is always odd to see a guy who was born in Hong Kong speaking fluent French. But he had a saying that has always stuck with me. It was all the W's. Anthony, all the W's. Who, what, where, when, why, how? If you could answer all the W's, you understood the subject. Now Paul is doing this, right here in verses 14 and 15. He's answering Timothy's all the W's about his faith. But let's look back before we look forward. Paul loves to start a sentence with but, and here Paul is using it to show contrast between Timothy and the evil men and impostors from verse 13. They are deceiving and being deceived, but Timothy, and therefore us, are to continue. Continue in what, you ask? Great question. Let's have a look at verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So unlike the evil dudes, Timothy is to be steadfast with what he has learned. Paul is trying to explain to Timothy that he should have confidence, and that confidence should come from what he knows and how he learned it. The connection between what you learn and who you learned it from is super important. The character of the teachers reflects the character of the teaching. And Timothy knows his teachers intimately. Paul is one of them, obviously, because they spent so much time together, it would be hard for Timothy not to learn from Paul. But he's also referring to Eunice and Lois, Timothy's mother and grandmother. Paul even acknowledges his mother and grandmother right back at the start of the letter. I'm reminded of sincere faith, which first, living in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, now lives in you. So Timothy has been given a great foundation for his faith. Paul then drives the point home with verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul looks back before he looks forward, from childhood to salvation. So he's clearly talking about the Old Testament when he says Holy Scripture. And he's again talking about Timothy's mother and grandmother when he says childhood. But he's leading us to some deep theology. He's not saying this knowledge is good for you to live a good life, or what you learned is good to go run a successful business. Paul is saying it is good and makes us wise. Wise for salvation. But there's a caveat. It makes us wise for salvation through faith in which is in Christ Jesus. So you can know the scripture, be able to recite it word for word, but without faith in Christ, you have nothing. Head knowledge is nothing without heart knowledge. It is only through faith in Christ that we can achieve salvation. Without faith in Christ, we won't have life in Christ. This is a guy who came down to us and died for us. All he asks for is faith. Faith and trust in the Lord. Now, just for a second, have a think about your church and all those pews in that church. I am 100% confident there have been people sitting in those pews who knew the scripture, maybe even brought up in the church, but didn't have faith. They had knowledge, but were not saved. Now, the good news is, you can have both. You can be wise and saved, and that is what Paul wants for us. His point here, because you know it, be confident. Because you know it, use it. Because you know it, have faith. Because you know. So Paul says, carry on, point one, because you know, point two, the scripture, point three. And what a great title for our third point, the scripture. So let's jump straight into verse 16 and 17, because it's all about the scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I would like to retranslate a little. Now, I don't speak Greek, let alone ancient Greek, but I've read multiple books and translations, and although given by inspiration of God is great imagery, I'm confident it should be breathed out by God. The difference is a little subtle, but also really important. See, the writers were not painters who paint a landscape they see. They're not like famous poets like Banjo Paterson or William Blake, although he's got a great name. They didn't feel inspired and put it into their own words. It's God breathing out his words. Their words are God's words, and God's words are their words. Peter even backs this up in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, talking about the authors who, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. It originated with God and was breathed out by God, and is surprisingly named the Word of God. Amazing. And Timothy knew this, and Paul knew that Timothy knew this, so he didn't dwell on it, but moved straight on to how profitable it is and how Timothy can use it. Four quick points of how to use it in a practical way. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Positive, negative, negative, positive. It's about leading, it's about educating. It's about Timothy being wise and being confident in what he knows. Timothy is to teach the doctrine to rebuke the error, correct it, then train them to reorder their lives. Paul reinforces that this is directed squarely at Timothy by using the Old Testament title, Man of God. Sure, it can be applied to all Christians, but in the Old Testament it was an honorific for those who were God's spokesmen. Moses, David, Elijah, and now Timothy. Paul puts him in pretty illustrious company, but he's also using it as a title for leaders of the church. People who are to speak with authority within the church. Authority through knowledge that comes from God's word. All of this so Timothy, and therefore us, can be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not just a kind of equipped, not even nearly ready, in fact, not even prepared, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yes, the scripture equips us to do all that God requires of us. As Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. This is the objective of the profitable scripture. This is what Paul has been pointing Timothy toward. This is what Paul was pointing us towards. The scripture. Being confident in the scripture. Using the scripture. And having faith in the scripture. So carry on because you know the scripture. When the dark times come, and they will, carry on. When others go from bad to worse, carry on. You've got your teaching and you know who you learned it from. You know the biblical groundings of your faith and your teacher's faith. So carry on because you know. And as we've seen, the scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for us. It'll make you wise and equip you for all God wants of you. So carry on because you know the scripture. Carry on because you know the scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your word to us. Thank you that in these hard times we can rely on you and your word. Please give us all the courage to carry on living for you and wanting to live out our faith in you. I pray that you would bless us all as we go out this week trying to do the good works you equip us for. Amen.
That was Anthony Blake, member of Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I'm Jesse Walls, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. If you'd like to make a comment, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.